Blog Talk Radio.
Depending on where you are around the world today, welcome to another edition of Cross Encounters Radio. I am your host, Tony Miano, and with me today is my good friend, one of my best friends, Richard Wheels Story. How are you, Rich?
Oh, brother, I'm better than I deserve. How about yourself?
Yeah, likewise. I would say that I'm better than I deserve. We are missing one of the dynamic trio today, Chris Honholtz. Chris asked for the day off. Chris asked to be absent from the show for a very, very worthy and noble reason. His eldest son is turning 11 years old. And so instead of hanging out with us for an hour, he's going to be exactly where he needs to be, and that's with his family celebrating his son's 11th birthday. Now, it would be enough for me to leave it at that. If I did not most recently, like within the last 5 minutes, come across some other information that I think is germane, Chris's absence, just learned that Chris's son's birthday is not March 21st, but March 31st. So now, I'm left with a decision. Do I give Chris the benefit of the doubt, which isn't always my first choice, or do I fire him yet again, which has been my first choice probably 200 times since the start of this humble little radio program? There could be extenuating circumstances. It could be that there are family members from out of town. They're in town. This is the time that they can all get together. So this is the day that they pick to do the birthday. Completely plausible. You know, we, with three daughters, Maria and I, when the kids were young, we have two girls whose birthdays are in September. So instead of doing two separate birthdays, we would pick a day in the middle and do one birthday party, big birthday party for both of them. So, you know, could be that. It could be that Chris's work schedule or whatever, I don't know what day the 31st falls on. You know, it could just be a scheduling issue. There could be a very legitimate reason why Chris Honholtz is alleging that he is celebrating his 11-year-old son's birthday 10 days, not a week. Not a weekend, 10 days before the actual birthday. So, Rich, what should we do? Should we give him the benefit of the doubt, or should we think he's just playing hooky?
Can we do both?
No. Since when, Rich, since when has this show been representative of sitting on a fence?
Well, I'm going to take the other road. I think Chris planned this just so he'd have an excuse to eat cake this weekend. I saw pictures of the cake, and it was a really cool cake. It was a retro-themed Pac-Man cake, and I have to say it looked really good, and we're just going to have to get after him just for the simple fact that we know he will not send us each a piece of that cake.
Now hang on a second. All right. Now, KT, the lovely Miss KT, who has an interesting green name every week in the chat room. Today it's Mocha Cappuccino. which is rather tame, rather mild for KT, has the audacity to call us on the fact that the theme of today's program is loving your enemies. Like as if we're supposed to just love Chris and give him the benefit of the doubt. Well, that doesn't work. That breaks down for the simple fact that Chris is not an enemy. He's not an enemy. He's a friend. We love our friend. But we're still going to give him a hard time because that's what guys do. On radio, what we're doing right now is like a punch in the arm. Okay, thank you for the attempt at a course correction there, KT, but no, we're still going to pick on him. But we do actually have a show to do today, and we do want to do that, and we do hope that Chris is enjoying his son's birthday. More importantly, we hope his son is enjoying his own birthday, even though Dad had a cake made to make Dad happy. Okay, now if it was... All right, now if it was like Doctor Who or something like that, I know the kids like Doctor Who, I know the kids like the Avengers, you know, they share that interest with Dad, but Pac-Man, I'm sorry, kids today I don't think are playing Pac-Man. Chris is old enough to remember the old Pac-Man. Chris got that cake because Chris wanted to eat the icing Pac-Man. Let's just call it the way we see it. We are supposed to have a guest today. We are waiting for him to call. His name is Joe Conkle. Something extraordinary happened at his house today, or should I say the remains of his house, and we'll get into that story in a little bit. But that what happened at Joe's house and what Joe did as a result of what happened at his house is the reason that we're calling today's show, you know, the importance of loving your enemies. So just waiting for Joe to call in. And Joe, if you're listening, brother, we need you to call 646-652-2316, 646-652-2316. See how I give them all that time? We do have, we're going back to the Romans 3, 10-18 award. We do have a winner. Today, it is an entire denomination, an entire apostate denomination, and that would be none other than the PCUSA, and we will explain why in a moment. pardon me. Rich is going to challenge me again with another Always Ready segment, a new segment we're doing on the show. When Rich and Chris give me a scenario with no time to prepare, I have no idea what the scenario is, and I'm going to try to explain how I would use that situation to transition into a gospel conversation. Rich thinks he has one to stump me, telling these guys the goal is not to stump me, the goal is not to make me look like an idiot on my own show, the goal is to edify others and give them examples of how to transition conversations into the spiritual. But Rich has gone as far as to come up with something that he can't figure out the answer to. So I don't even want to guess at what he's going to be throwing at me. And we have a winner of the inaugural and might be the only Cross Encounters Radio Facebook page caption this contest. Caption this. Every Thursday morning, I get together with my sister. Pardon me, folks. I'm still getting over a week-long cough. Every Thursday morning, I get together with my sister. We go for a walk at Central Park in our community, and we've started hiking up through the hills behind the park. And I've noticed these little rock formations. You know, people are doing it. I don't believe that the rocks evolved to create stacks of rocks over millions of years because last Thursday, one particular rock pile wasn't there, and this Thursday it is. Even if evolution was true, I don't think it would happen in 7 days. But I automatically assumed, okay, these are pagans. These are Wiccans. These are some other kind of you know, false god worshiping folks up here in the hills, howling at the moon, you know, crying at the sun, setting up rocks, pointing them toward the pyramids, whatever. And so I said, forget that. And I start knocking them all down. I start kicking them down. And my sister, who is also a Christian, she gasps. Please don't do that again, she says, in my sister's motherly voice. Please don't do that again. I said, why? They're not pagan. I'm telling you, they're not pagan. I'm not sure what they are, but they're not pagan. So, of course, I went to Google, the online holder of all truth, and discovered that they are cairns, kind of like the same spelling of a cairn terrier, C-A-I-R-N, cairn. I guess this started in Scotland. It is, they are just simply rock formations. People use them to mark where they've been, to mark a trail so that they don't get lost. And so for all I know, there are people up in the hills around my city who still can't find their way out because I've knocked down all of their cairns. That's actually funny to think about. Give search and rescue something to do. So anyways, I took a picture of me adding a rock to a cairn, and I asked people to caption it, and so they did. And I don't know, Rich, do you have any idea how many entries we had? I mean, we did it on our Twitter page. We did it on my personal Facebook page. We did it on the Cross Encounters Radio Facebook page. There had to be at least 100 entries.
Probably, if not a little bit over. I know there were quite a few.
You didn't count them?
I didn't count each one. I just read through them.
You didn't count them.
I did not count them. I was not counting the quantity. I was looking at the quality.
Ah, good answer. All right. Since our guest still has not called in, and I hope it's not because something has happened that, you know, he didn't trip and fall going from the kitchen to the living room to pick up the phone or anything serious. But we'll give him a few more minutes, and if he doesn't call, I'll share the story and we'll get to it. So, but for now, we are going to announce the five finalists for the Caption This contest. All five finalists are going to get a gift pack of gospel tracks from Cross Encounters Radio. And the grand prize winner is going to get, in addition to a gift pack of gospel tracks, a surprise from Cross Encounters Ministry, and with likely some participation from our sponsor at Sharkhead Knives and Gifts. All right? So it'll be nice, whatever it is, because we only do nice gifts. That's why we have sponsors like Sharkheads, Knives, and Gifts, because we only do nice gifts. All right, here we go. No drum roll, because we're low budget and we have no special effects. In fifth place. That's all right, brother. Someone has to laugh. I feel like a Maytag repairman doing this show today. In fifth place. Winning a pack of gospel tracks from Cross Encounters Radio. And I know this man will use them because he is out like two nights a week on a local college campus. He's a big evangelist, and I mean that in a couple of different ways, not the least of which is that he is 6'8" tall. Fifth place winner is Benjamin Candy with his entry to Captionist, about to topple the unbeliever's solid rock theology. In fourth place, yeah, I could just feel the excitement building. In fourth place, winner of a pack of gospel tracks is, oh, actually, no, Benjamin's in fourth place. We only have four people. I thought we had five. We only have four. Benjamin Candy's in fourth place. In third place, Rob Hefner with It's Just Amazing How Wind and Rain Carved These Stones Over Billions of Years Into What Would Appear to Be, to the Casual Observer, an Intentionally Well-Designed Stack. Okay, so he's third place. You know what? I'm sorry. I messed this up. We do have five. Benjamin's fifth. Rob is third. Lisa Johnson is fourth. See how I did that? And Lisa Johnson's fourth with her entry. And if you are guilty of pushing one rock, you are guilty of pushing all of them. Little play on scripture there. Second place, my friend Terry Scrivener here locally. Sequel to Frozen. Do you want to build a stone man? Do you want to build a stone man? And the grand prize winner, winning a pack of gospel tracks and a surprise gift package from Cross Encounters Radio and Sharkhead Knives and Gifts, our sponsor, is Haley Perry with, I love this, I love it, an Atheist's Family Tree. Okay, again, picture me putting a small rock on the top of a stack of rocks with the caption, an Atheist's Family Tree. I thought that was funny right there. I thought that was funny. I thought that was funny. So here's what we need you folks to do. Hopefully you're going to be listening. And we will be posting the winners on both my page and the Facebook page, Twitter. We'll do all that. But what we're going to need you to do is we're going to need you to send us your mailing address so that we can mail you this out. And we know who the five winners are, so no trying to sneak in there. So Benjamin Candy, Lisa Johnson, Rob Hefner, Terry Scrivener, and the grand prize winner, Haley Perry. You all win something from Cross Encounters Radio. So email us at info@crossencountersmin.com. info@crossencountersmin.com. If you happen to be in the chat room during the live broadcast, you could also send Rich a private message. All right. Hey, we do have Joe Conkle here, which is good news. Joe's a good friend of mine. Joe is an evangelist. Joe is a retired corrections officer and is devoting much of his free time now to evangelism, to the public proclamation of the gospel, engaging people in conversation, distributing gospel tracts, you name it, Joe is doing it. Well, I want to share with you, if you're not familiar, something happened in Joe's life in December of last year, right around Christmas, in fact. I'm going to read to you the story, and then we're going to bring Joe on to talk about something that happened here just the other day. Joe, and this story is from the Mansfield News Journal, and that is mansfieldnewsjournal.com. The writer of the article is Linda Martz, M-A-R-T-Z, Linda Martz, and here's the story. Joe Conkle had risen early Sunday morning and was busy starting homemade bread in the kitchen of his home when he was startled by a popping noise. He looked up to see smoke coming from the exhaust fan area, even though he hadn't yet turned on the stove. Smoke quickly turned to flames. Quote, I can't believe how immediately fast it went up, and Joe said. His wife, daughter Cammie, and her six-year-old son were still in bed. Conkle roused them from sleep. Quote, I told them the house is on fire. You've got to get out, he said. And by the time the first Madison Township fire truck arrived, they found heavy flames with the north end of the house completely ablaze. The Conkles watched from the yard in pajamas as their three-bedroom ranch house burnt down, taking with it most of their personal belongings and one vehicle belonging to daughter Cammie. One of the family's two dogs was out in the yard, and the second dog was safely rounded up as they fled the house through the front door. But they could not locate a cat, which may have gone to the basement. Cammie's vehicle is now a burned-out shell. A truck parked further away from the house survived with some minor damage. Fire investigators may have an answer Monday on the cause. Again, this article was written last December, which was still under investigation. Quote, I didn't have a heater in the garage. I'm assuming for now it was electrical, Conkle said. The blaze drew multiple 911 calls. Quote, this fire could be seen from a long ways away, the Madison fire chief said. It came in from numerous people, just about everyone in the neighborhood. The story goes on, sharing some more details. You know, we've heard stories like this. We always feel a great deal of compassion for people from far away who have things happen like this at any time of the year, certainly around Christmas, but it's different, isn't it, when it's someone you know, when it's someone you love, and that's the case with Joe. Now, Joe, I got you on now. Welcome to the program. Joe, just the other day, and you inspired the theme for today's show, Loving Your Enemies. You had something happen at your house, the house that burnt down just the other day. Tell us the story.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tony. It's good to hear your voice again. Actually, the story started a day earlier.
Okay.
It was on Wednesday. Wednesday, when I was returning back from the store, I saw a car sitting in my driveway. And so I walked over, and I asked them what was going on, and they said, we're here with a local home improvement company cleaning up the debris and nails. Neighbors had been complaining. And, you know, I asked him for a business card, and he said he didn't have any more. And I happened to look over, and I saw my air conditioning unit, which sits outside the house, and it was tipped over. Wires were cut. And I said, well, what are you doing with the air conditioner? You know, and then they told me a couple quick lies and all that. And I listened to them for a minute, and then I finally, said, well, listen, I said, the home improvement company you're talking about has no business with this house. I said, the only reason I know, it's my house. And I said, and all the scrap around the house, and I'm pointing my hand in like a circle. I said, you have no business in that. That's my scrap. And I said, you guys best be getting out of here. And, you know, they apologized and everything and put their hands up, and they quickly left. Well, the next day, about 10:30 in the morning, I happened to look outside and saw my air conditioning unit was moved to the side of the street. So I took my truck over I was going to go pick it up, put it in my truck, and knew they were going to go get something to pick it up with. When I got over there to get the air conditioning unit, I saw a pile of glass and ash and stuff that was laying in the middle of the street. And what they had done is put it in the back of their car, and it fell out, so they moved it off the side of the road. So my street's on a cul-de-sac. So I go to the end of the cul-de-sac, which there's a school down there, and I turn around. As I'm coming back up towards my house, I see a pickup truck coming, and it's got writing on the windshield. You know, no plate on the front. Here in Ohio, we have to have a front and rear license plate. So I knew it was a dealer car. And when the car went past, I saw it was the two guys. So I stopped my truck immediately in the street. They went down to the school and came back up, and I was out of my truck, and I stopped them in the street. Proceeded to tell them, I told you guys not to come back, didn't I? They said, no, my daughter lives up the road. We saw the air conditioner sitting off the side of the road, and we didn't think you wanted it. So I told them, you guys put it there, didn't you? No, we didn't put it there. We were just, coming by. So I let him continue to lie to me. I kept asking him questions, interrogating him. And then I finally told him, so I'm going to tell you right now, I said, I'm a gospel preacher. And I don't even know why I said it like that, but I said, and not only have you violated the laws by stealing this stuff from my house, I said, but you are also violated God's laws. And then, we're blocking the road. Nobody can get through either way. So I heard up, shared the gospel with him, and I told him, I said, I'm going to do something gracious for you guys. I said, you come out here and you clean this glass and debris up in the street, and I'll let you have the air conditioner. They're like, oh, well, thank you. And they get out, and One guy actually takes off his jacket and starts sweeping the street with it. The other guy picks up the little pieces of glass and throws them in the truck. And on the way they went, about 2 hours later, the sheriff pulls in my driveway and asks me about the story. So I confirmed the it was my house and the story, and I gave it to him. He said, "Well," he said, We're familiar with the two guys, and I'd ask them their name after I shared the gospel with them. They told me their names, and they said they knew one of the guys was a heroin addict around here, a real bad heroin addict. So I'm thinking, here, I gave them, you know, they're going to use it to buy heroin. But the sheriff said, yeah, they had borrowed a car from a dealership and acted like they was wanting to take it for a test drive, and the police caught them, and they would have probably went to jail if I hadn't told them that I gave it to them. But the sheriff's deputy came up and said, "I want to shake your hand," and he introduced himself and asked my name, and he said, "Thank you," and then they went on his way. So they could have, like I said, if I could have said, you know, hey, they were over here stealing from me, you know, I could have lied and said, no, I didn't give it to them so they could go to jail. But no, of course, I told the truth. But I gave them a couple gospel tracts to the guys, and they thanked me for the tracts and all that. So, and that was about it. You know, I mean, the guy's named Lenny, and he's I looked him up, and so hopefully I'll see him when I'm doing my street ministry here coming up pretty soon in Mansfield. I'm hoping I get another chance to talk to him.
So now,
but that was it.
Now, when you said they borrowed a car from a dealership, how do you borrow a car from a dealership?
Well, what they did is, according to the sheriff's deputy, told me, he said that it's a dealership. It's just about a mile from the house, and they told them they wanted to test drive this car or test drive the truck. They didn't ask him how much it was or anything. So the owner was suspicious, so he followed.
Yeah, you think? He followed him.
Yeah, he followed him. He saw the whole thing. He saw the conversation and all that.
Oh, really?
I guess they followed him, and they took it to another area in Mansfield, you know, about a mile from the house, and dumped it out of the truck, and then they drove the truck back to turn it back in. So the auto store had called the sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department came down, and that's when they got busted.
Yeah, it seems very strange for a dealership to let a couple of suspicious guys just go for a joyride in one of the cars without having a salesman in the car with them or something.
Well, there was, you know, it's like an S10 truck, so you really couldn't get three people in it. There was two guys, and they were very polite. They were very slick, but, you know, I worked,
sure,
you know, 21 years in corrections. You can smell a crook, you know, you can,
right,
you know. But the first day that they came out, I really wasn't thinking gospel at the time. I was, you know, I was a little upset that they were over there stealing from me, so the gospel didn't come out of my mouth. So it's kind of neat that I got another opportunity to, you know, I screwed up the first time. The second time I got to share the gospel with them.
Now, Joe, after that first encounter with them, I mean, were you actually thinking that? Were you thinking, you know what, I had an opportunity and I missed it? Did that thought cross your mind?
I didn't till later on. No, not till later on. Like I said, you know, I was straight cop when I was with the guys, you know, and I was you know how you get in cop mode, you know, you get you're friendly,
yeah,
but then you switch over and then you're straight interrogation and kind of aggressive in a way. So that's kind of like what I was. I didn't really raise my voice, but, you know, I let them know that I was the authority there and this was my house and they were breaking the law. So, yeah, the gospel didn't even come into mind till later.
Well, now, when you say later, was it, did it come to mind later that day, or did it come to mind after the second encounter with him?
Well, probably after the second encounter, when I saw him, I saw him coming by, and I kind of was, because I retold the story to my wife, and then to my son, then to my daughter, you know, and was still just kind of aggravated. You know, somebody, that's been a problem, you know, probably, I guess, all over the country, where people come in and still, you know, copper from a house, whether it's abandoned or whether it's a new house being built. You know, thieves will come in and,
sure,
you know, thieves kind of make you angry. They take something
looters
that doesn't belong to them.
Yeah, they were basically, you know, they were looters. I mean, they were like the worst kind of thief.
Yeah.
All right, so.
And then their story, you know, they give you a lame story.
Right.
I'm
and having no idea they're actually talking to the owner of the house. That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so when did the switch flip? When did you go from cop to evangelist?
Probably sometime.
What's going on in your head?
Well, it actually came through as I was interrogating them the second time, because I was upset, you know, that they're stealing it. But I got you because I got it sitting in the back of my truck, you know. So now you're not going to steal from me. But as I'm questioning them and talking to them and you know, they're lying. And, you know, at some point in there is when it, probably right before when I come out and said, listen, I'm a gospel preacher. And I've never said that in my life before. So I don't even know how that came up. So it's probably the Holy Spirit just come up and wanted to show compassion to these people. And it just kind of took over. Because my flesh, you know, wrestles with that kind of stuff, you know, with thieves and criminals, because I've worked around them. I know how they act. I know how they think.
You know they're lying because their lips are moving.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Joe, what was the? Because obviously, you know, being 21 years in law enforcement, you know how to read people. What were you sensing about them? What were you sensing from them as you were sharing the gospel with them? Were they just waiting for you to shut up so they can get going? Did it seem like you were connecting with them? I mean, yeah, how were you reading them as you were sharing the gospel?
It was almost like I was on automatic pilot, you know. It was almost like I switched, and it was not like I was reading from a program, but you know, I was looking at them intently when I was sharing the gospel with them.
Sure.
So as far as reading them, I told them the bad news. And I told him the good news, and I said, and here's what I'm going to do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave him a couple gospel tracts. I said, you reread this. You read this later. This is what we talked about. They got out. They thanked me, you know, shook my hand. And, you know, they're good liars, okay? They were pretty good liars because they had honest looks on their faces. They never had an aggressive stance toward me at all, ever. Mm-hmm. So, but they were good liars. But they were, you know, since I knew that they were lying because they were at my house.
Yeah.
You know, some other people, like a car dealership, might not be as suspicious as I was, but.
Mm-hmm. And now you said that.
But
you
know,
deputy,
criminals are.
Yeah, you said the deputy said he wanted to shake your hand.
Yeah.
What? Tell me a little more about his reaction to to what you did. Now, I mean, you're not Mansfield's not a real big town, right?
There's about 50,000 people.
Okay. And so this deputy was probably well aware of the fact that your house had burnt down in December. At least,
yeah,
maybe
yeah. I'd never met this deputy.
But he probably knew, obviously. I mean, plus he could tell just by looking at the house. But, you know, what was his reaction to the fact that you cut these guys some slack?
I don't know. He smiled when I told him the story, and then he said, well, that's what they said. And he smiled and said, hey, can I shake your hand? And I said, yeah, because we were standing about 5 feet apart, and he walked over to me,
wow.
And I walked over to him. And I don't know as far as what he was thinking or anything else. He just asked me my name, and I told, and he gave me his.
Wow.
And said, thank you.
Wow. Well, I could probably
figure out from you.
What do you mean?
Well, as a, you know, you being a deputy, I mean, you being in that situation and somebody done,
how
would you react?
The deputy in me would probably say, you know what, I finally had an opportunity to get these guys off the streets, and now I can't. But the Christian in me would definitely want to shake your hand. It's like, because that is the example. That is an example of loving your enemy. You know, that your enemy had nothing but ill will toward you, and yet instead of sending them off to prison, it would have been a slam dunk case. You know, you extended grace. You extended mercy. They didn't receive what they deserved for what they had done. You extended mercy to them. So we need to hope and pray for these guys that the Lord would use that moment in time to soften these rock hard hearts, and that they would read those gospel tracts, come to repentance and faith, and not simply reform their lives, but actually be reconciled to God. And so, I just thought it was a great story. I know what you've been through the last few months, and how difficult things have been, and then for you to turn around I would think most people, if their house was completely intact, and someone came by and cut the wires to their outside air conditioner and tried to walk off with it, would not have extended as much grace and mercy as you did. And here, just about the only thing left standing is an air conditioner. And you let them take it, and they suffer no consequences for the bad act, and instead you gave them the gospel.
I think that it the fact that I had 24 hours to have the same experience again, I think it was, you know, it definitely wasn't my flesh, because when they were out there the first day, I wasn't thinking gospel at all. It wasn't my flesh. It was the Spirit.
Amen.
That was gracious to him, and I just followed the lead. So praise
Amen.
God.
Joe, I appreciate I appreciate what you did. I appreciate the fact that you blessed so many people just by sharing it, and then being willing to come on the show and talk about it. And yes, we know that God ultimately gets the glory. But every once in a while, it's just okay to pat a brother on the back and say, well done. And so, Joe, well done, brother. Well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. All right, brother. God bless you, and I'll be talking to you again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, Joe. All right, and that was my friend Joe Conkle. Joe Conkle, an evangelist, retired law enforcement, and his house burns down in December, burns to the ground. He catches a couple of guys, not once, but twice, trying to steal his air conditioner from his burned-down house. Both knuckleheads are known by local law enforcement, would have gone to jail for some time. Joe instead gives them the air conditioner and shares the gospel with them. Cool. What do you think, Rich?
I think it is very cool. And I just would like to say again what you told Joe. Well done, brother. Well done. I don't know how I would have reacted in that situation, and the fact that it happened one day and then Joe had time to think about it that night and the Lord blessed him with the Spirit to share the gospel with these same gentlemen the next day, the way everything transpired, it was obviously a work of the Lord and meant for Joe to be Amen. Able to share the gospel with those men.
Yeah. Amen. And it's almost a shame. We've got to go from such a feel-good story as that to our Romans 3, 10-18 award. There is no one who is good, no, not one. All have turned aside. Together they become useless, and so on. And there were a number of stories we could have picked. There was the absolute horrendous story of a woman on Craigslist who either put in an ad or answered an ad for baby clothes. And when she got there, the woman she met assaulted her and literally performed a cesarean and removed her baby from her womb. The woman survived. The baby did not. And, just how depraved must you be to do something like that? So there are stories like that all the time. Man is, by his very nature, depraved and sinful. It still blows my mind that there are renegade, nomadic, open-air preachers out on the streets who deny that man is by nature evil. Just blows my mind. But there are, and there are evil people who dress themselves up as Christians, who dress themselves up as denominations, who are every bit as wicked as the woman who committed that heinous act against that pregnant woman and her child. And this week's example is the Presbyterian Church USA, PCUSA. Now, there are a number of Presbyterian denominations. So very important you understand that this is one particular Presbyterian denomination. We are not painting all Presbyterians this way. By any stretch of the imagination. But PCUSA has for a long time been on the road toward apostasy, and they finalized it this week. I'm going to be reading to you from World Magazine, worldmag.com, an article posted by Lee Jones, L-E-I-G-H, Lee Jones. I'm going to read just a portion of it because we are getting close on time, and I do want to get to Rich's stumper that he has for me. See if we can get to that too. So we won't take long on this because, again, the last story was so good. I almost don't want to do this story, but we're trying to do better about actually doing the segments we say we're going to do. And we also have a giveaway, too. We also have a giveaway today from Sharkhead Knives and Gifts. Pretty extraordinary gift. And we're going to include you podcasters because we know there are hundreds of you that listen during the week. Don't get to listen to the show live. You're often left out of the contests. And we don't think it should be that way anymore. So we're going to make sure to include the podcasters, too. So if you're listening via podcast, you'll have an opportunity to win this gift. Of course, if you're listening 3 weeks from now, well, you're out of luck. But if you're listening a few days after this, the live broadcast, well, there might still be hope for you. But anyways, let's get to this, see if we can get through this quickly. Again, this article is on worldmag.com, posted by Lee Jones. Lee writes, a majority of congregations in the Presbyterian Church USA have voted to approve gay marriage, a position endorsed by the General Assembly last year. The denomination's constitutional definition of marriage will be extended to include a, quote, commitment between two people, end quote. No clergy will be required to officiate a same-sex marriage or host a ceremony on church property under the new constitutional amendment. Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll change. This change to their constitution will take effect June 21st. Since last year, 86 of the church's 171 presbyteries voted to approve the redefinition of marriage, with the vote that made the majority coming in last night. But 41 rejected the change, leaving the future of their congregations uncertain. Since 2011, as the Kentucky-based PCUSA drifted away from biblical orthodoxy, 428 churches have left to join more conservative denominations or disbanded. Well, praise God. Even in the PCUSA, just like the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, another wildly liberal apostate denomination, even within the ranks of these apostate denominations are genuine followers of Christ. God has his remnant, and we'll know who those people are as they join these other 400 some congregations and leave this apostate, non-Christian, non-Bible believing, non-Christ loving denomination, the PCUSA. Rich, I think we're going to see a lot more of this too, don't you?
I do, brother. And the sad thing is I fear it's just going to steadily increase more and more and more until where the norm is these liberal, socialistic types of congregations and true Bible-believing conservative churches are going to become fewer and fewer. Just seems like we're in an age of apostasy where the entire United States religious system is just going down that slippery slope, except I think they've greased the slide with cooking oil and they're just sliding down just as fast as they can.
Yeah. Yep. All right. And that's enough time on that, really. I mean, what else is there to say? The PCUSA is not a Christian denomination. It's not. If someone tells you that they're a member of a PCUSA church, that should be a signal for you to share the gospel with them. Now, there may still be genuine believers in that denomination who have yet to leave. But if you meet someone from a PCUSA church, don't automatically assume that they're a believer. Share the gospel with them. All right. Sharkhead Knives and Gifts, located in Matheson, Mississippi, owned and operated by the lovely Suzanne Story and her son, Tyler, he has a life story. Who won't come on the phone, this strapping, good-looking, was he 19 or 20?
He's 19.
19-year-old, just wonderful young man, godly young man, who asserts that he has a life, won't come on Dad's Humble Radio program. Anyways, apparently, though, even though he won't come on the show, he's doing a great job working with his mom in this new business, Sharkhead Knives and Gifts. They take a bite out of high prices and specialize in stocking USA handmade gifts that are rustic, retro, and carry a wide selection of Christian gifts and resources such as weatherproof Bibles, waterproof notebooks, and some great T-shirts from Wrath Grace Clothing. If you're needing knives for kitchen, tactical, outdoor, or just your pocket, they carry brands and prices to fit any budget. Sharkhead will be launching the website. Any word, any update as to when you guys are going to be launching the website?
Well, the last that's still out for debate, but I think Suzanne's beginning to get a bit frustrated herself on that. But it's coming slowly but surely.
Okay.
But just bear with us; it'll get there.
All right. Well, in the meantime, folks, you can find them on Facebook.com. Just look up S.H. Cutlery, S.H. Cutlery on Facebook. And you can also find them on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is S.H. Knives, S.H. Knives. Now, because Sharkhead Gifts, because of their sponsorship of our program, today's show we're going to give away a RADA. Is that how it's pronounced? R-A-D-A, RADA?
I think that's RADA one of those. Depends.
Oh, Maria's nodding her head. You're familiar with them, huh? Oh, I just put two and two together because Suzanne sent Maria a set of RADA knives, and she likes them. So here's what we're going to do, courtesy of Sharkhead Gifts. We are going to select a winner, and yes, podcast folks, you are eligible. You are eligible up until Friday, March 27th. Sometime on Friday, March 27th, we'll close entries, and Rich and Chris will announce the winner on next week's program, March 28th. We are going to select one person to receive a RADA gift set, including a regular paring knife, a vegetable peeler, tomato slicer, a super parer, a 6-inch bread knife, a cook's knife, and a slicer. Retail value of almost $60. And if you want to check it out, just go to RADA and look for item S38, and you can take a look at what you are going to be receiving. And she is going to Suzanne's going to post a set on the Sharkhead Facebook page. Plus, there's also going to be a few other surprise goodies made by RADA. So this is going to be a pretty neat gift, courtesy of Sharkhead Knives and Gifts. So in order to be included, the folks who are listening live and the hundreds of you who listen via podcast, here's how you can enter to win the knives. Simply email us at info@crossencountersmin.com. info@crossencountersmin.com. And this is important. Write, "I want those knives" on the subject line. "I want those knives" on the subject line. info@crossencountersmin.com. And "I want those knives" on the subject line. And Rich and Suzanne will be picking the winner. And maybe Tyler too. Rich and Chris are going to announce the winner on the 28th. They're going to Rich and Suzanne will pick the winner on Friday, March 27th. So you have the better part of a week to send in your email to info@crossencountersmin.com. And the only entries we will accept are the ones that say "I want those knives" on the subject line. It's really the only way we could sort through the mail and make sure that we're only including people who are participating in the competition. So, Suzanne, Tyler, thank you very, very much. Did I say competition? Everything's a competition. Life is a competition. But Maria says we should call it a contest. So, anyways, very special knife set, courtesy of Sharkhead Knives and Gifts. Email us at info@crossencountersmin.com. Write, "I want those knives" on the subject line. And hope you win. All right, Rich, we've got about 5 minutes or so. Hit me. Always ready. What do you got for me today?
Okay, and this actually goes along with today's show title.
Okay.
You're in a situation where you're either talking to an atheist or an unbeliever, and out of nowhere, you know, you tell them that you're a Christian, and you get this response, and I'm sure that you've had this or something similar asked of you while you're out on the streets. Okay.
Okay.
Claim to have a God of peace, but all through the Bible he commands war, and even Jesus told his disciples to sell what they have and to buy swords. How is your God the God of peace and not just a hypocrite?
Ah, good. Okay. Yeah, I hear that. I hear that a lot. And this would actually probably lead into a rather lengthy conversation. At least I would hope. And shout out to Cy-10 Brugenkate, because of all the help he has given me with presuppositional apologetics, I know exactly where I would take this person. I would begin by asking the person, by what standard do you judge God as hypocritical? And they're going to be left with very few choices. Because, see, in order for the atheist to assert any kind of morality that is not arbitrary and binding anyone else, in order for the atheist to assert that kind of morality, they must come into the Christian worldview for the standard. Because the Christian worldview is the only worldview that has a perfect and holy standard given by God, which has been written on the hearts of every human being. The Mormon God, the Jehovah's, or Mormon gods, the billions of Mormon gods, the Jehovah's Witness God, the Buddhist God, the Islamic God, all of these other false gods, none of them have provided a perfect standard, because none of those gods exist. The only God who has provided a perfect standard of morality is the only God, the Creator, who created both the Christian and the atheist, who suppresses the truth they know about God by their unrighteousness. So my first question to them would be, by what standard is God hypocritical? Now, they're either going to give me their opinion, they're going to say, well, by my standard. Well, your standard's meaningless. Your standard is an opinion. Your standard's not binding on any human being, let alone the God who created you. Then the person is likely going to jump to society. Well, by society's standard. Well, society's standard is arbitrary. Society's standard is not binding outside of an individual society. And oftentimes it's not even binding within that society. And all I have to do is go to ISIS. All I have to go to is an Islamic society that thinks it's okay to set people on fire and burn them alive, to behead them, to kill women and children, to kill Christians. It's perfectly acceptable in that society. 70 years ago, it was perfectly legal in Nazi Germany to murder anybody that they did not include in what they believed was the master race. So if it's up to society to determine the standard of right and wrong, to determine the standard of what is moral and what is not moral, then no other society should have the right or the freedom to go force their will, their society's purviews, their society's standards on another society. If it's up to society to determine right from wrong, the entire world was wrong for taking out Hitler and Nazi Germany. But we all know that that was the right thing to do. Not because society told us, and not because of an individual's standard, but because of the standard that God has written on every human heart. And I won't let that atheist off the mat. And in 90 seconds or less, That's where I would begin. I would challenge the atheist's notion of right or wrong, show the atheist that he has no moral standard by which he could judge God. And then I would assert to that unbeliever that God is not on trial. He is. The unbeliever is. Because he knows God exists and he hates him. And who are you, O man, to answer back to God? And then I would present them with the law and the gospel. And we are out of time. That was a good one, Rich. That was a really good one. Again, visit proofthatgodexists.org, proofthatgodexists.org, Site 10 Brueggenkate's site for more on presuppositional apologetics. Thank you again to Joe Conkle for being a great example of a Christian witness. Thanks to Rich for being my friend. Thanks to Chris for loving his son. And thanks to all of you for listening. Until next week, be encouraged, strengthened, and unafraid. Proclaim the gospel. Good night.